Okay, good afternoon, everybody. As you can see from the title, today I'm going to talk about the effect of land use change on carbon balance in new bioenergy crop. This work has been done in collaboration with the University of Toledo and Michigan State University. Both are members of the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center. This is one of the three research centers supported by the U.S. Department of Energy. Land use change has been identified as one of the main environmental issues related to the large expansion of bioenergy crops. So the question here is, what is the impact on the CO2 emission absorption when we convert something into something different? In our case, permanent grassland into bioenergy crop. So our specific scientific question is, what is the impact on carbon balance during the conversion phase of permanent CRP grassland into biofuel crop? CRP grassland are potential new land available across the country. There are about 30 million hectares of CRP across the United States. And in order to tackle this question, the GLBRC has established a field experiment to observe what happened during the conversion phase to the carbon balance. So we use the eddy covariance technique, that is a micrometeorological technique. Our experimental sites are located up here in southwest of Michigan, and basically with the eddy covariance we are able to measure the net ecosystem exchange, and so convert the exchange of the carbon dioxide between the canopy and the atmosphere, and convert this value into the net ecosystem production that represents the net carbon balance of the ecosystem. Here I have a couple of pictures of the eddy covariance installation in our site. It's a pretty standard technique. We use an open PET LICO 7500 analyzer, carbon dioxide and water analyzer, that works joined with the sonic anemometer. So by measuring the carbon dioxide concentration, but carbon dioxide density and vertical wind spin velocity, we are able to quantify the net exchange between the atmosphere and the canopy. This is our experimental design. We have three CRP grassland that were in 2009 were converted into soybean cultivation, while one grassland was kept as grassland as reference sites, and all these sites are equipped with the eddy covariance. So let's take a look at some results. In this graph, this is the net ecosystem production over 1 year, over the year of the conversion, and each point of the graph represents 1 day of the year. So it's important to remember that for the eddy covariance technique, the eddy covariance technique is a carbon balance from the atmosphere standpoint. So values that are positive above zero means carbon that is released from the ecosystem to the atmosphere, while value that are below the zero means carbon sequestration, so carbon that is removed from the atmosphere through the photosynthetic activity. So let's split this graph in different periods. First period, the normal growth season start of the grassland. This is from beginning of March until beginning of May. So the plants start to grow, start to make photosynthesis, and over this period, we measure carbon sequestration. However, in order to prepare this field for the future soybean cultivation, we applied an herbicide, a glyphosate, so a total an herbicide that is able to kill all the biomass present. And this is the visual effect of the herbicide application, and here in the shadowed part is the effect on the carbon balance. So we measure a huge emission of carbon dioxide due to the amount of that, to the huge amount of that biomass present on the ground. Then the grow season of the soybean last period. So if we sum all this point day by day, this black line over here, at the end of the year the value is positive, as you can see. So positive value in this case means that this ecosystem over this year act as a carbon source, not as a carbon sink. So these are the value for one site, but we got three sites, and if you take a look at the temporal trend of the net ecosystem production over the three sites converted, we got pretty much the same temporal trend. All these three sites were managed in the same way. And the cumulative value of these three sites is also pretty similar, value that range around 180 and 200 grams of carbon per square meter. So this, basically, this positive value are due to the land use change, due to the fact that we kill the biomass. For more than 2 months, we measure only CO2 emission, and this emission wasn't able to recover the carbon sequestration during the growing season of the soybean. This is the same graph, but this red line here is the reference site. So the reference site is the site that is not converted and act as a normal and unmanaged grassland. And as you can see, the value here is negative. It's around 60 grams of carbon per square meter of carbon gain over 1 year. So the difference between these two lines, these two orange lines here, is basically our effort of land use change, due to the conversion from permanent grassland into bioenergy crops. This was the first year of the experiment. So in the second year of the experiment, we have two sites, one converted to corn and one converted back to mixed prairie. So in this case, we have the same data as before: permanent grassland converted into soybean during 2009, and during the second year here, you can see the carbon sequestration due to the corn cultivation. So of corn, of course, we have a huge carbon sequestration due to the corn cultivation because of the amount of biomass produced by the corn, leaf area index. So the carbon sequestration is large compared to soybean, and in terms of absolute value and in terms of the length of the growth season. So if we make the cumulative value over the two here, after 1 year of the land conversion, the corn was able to pay back the carbon debt that we created the first year due to the land conversion. The value here, as you can see, it's negative. It's about 40 grams of carbon per square meter over the 2 years of cultivation. So this is a land use change from permanent grassland converted to soybean and converted to corn. So here we can compare this data with a traditional corn-soybean rotation. So in this case, we don't have the effect of land use change. It's a normal, standard corn-soybean rotation. And as you can see, the value, of course, is much more negative because, as I said before, we don't have the effect of land use change. So we can call again the difference between these two bar effect of land use change. However, here we have to make an important consideration. As a crop, corn or soybean, part of this carbon is removed from the ecosystem because the grain, basically, is removed from the ecosystem because it's used for bioenergies, for feed the cow or whatever. So if we remove the carbon present in the grain from these two values, we have this value, so in both cases positive, and in particular this line here, almost 600 of gram of carbon per square meter due to the land conversion after we remove the grain. So we need several here of cultivation in this case in order to repay back the debt that we created that we created during the first year due to the land conversion. So this is one of the best scenario, the corn scenario. Best scenario because corn is able to gain a lot of carbon during the growth season. Let's take a look at another land use scenario. The same another permanent grassland converted to soybean, the scenario that I said before, then converted back to mixed prairie. So converted back to a permanent grassland. Permanent grassland but with a different species. In this case, these are the value of the first year of the mixed prairie. The value is almost the worst case scenario because the value are really positive, almost 300 grams of carbon per square meter. And this is, here we have two reasons of this positive value. The effect of land conversion and the fact that the first year of the mixed prairie cultivation, the crop is not well established. It takes at least 2-3 years for be completely established. So as before, we can compare the effect of land conversion here with a traditional corn-soybean rotation, but in this case, converted back to mixed prairie, so the same situation as before. So this type of, in this case, as before, we don't have the effect of land conversion, so the value is negative, because there is no the effect here of the conversion of the permanent grassland. So as before, we can call the difference between these two orange bar here, we can call this different effect of land use change on carbon balance. So as before, part of the carbon, in this case only the soybeans, is removed from the ecosystem because it's used for bioenergy or for any type of use that you want. And we assume that this carbon is released back to the atmosphere. So the value are still, are again positive. Depends on the management, on the management of the land use change. We need several here for repay back this this carbon debt. So in conclusion, we can say that the conversion of permanent grassland has induced a large CO2 emission during the first year of the cultivation. And speaking about the land use change, it's important to distinguish between the land cover. We can compare two land cover and make some assumption or some consideration about two different land cover and the carbon sequestration. But what really matter in the land use change is the conversion phase from something like permanent grassland in this case or forest in the worst case scenario to something different. And it's important to consider not only the type of conversion but also how the conversion is managed, because in our case we kill the biomass and we left all the biomass on the ground. We apply the no-tillage technique. In case of different management, probably the carbon balance, our observation with the covariance would have been different. So this is why I'm saying that when we talk about the land use change, it's important to consider how the land use change is managed. And the last recommendation is that probably would be better not convert the permanent CRP grassland into bioenergy crop, but use the biomass from the CRP grassland as a bioenergy feedstock in order to avoid the effect of the land use change on the carbon balance. I'd like to thank all my co-author, in particular Professor Jiquan Chen from University of Toledo and Professor Phil Robertson from the Michigan State University. This is our website where you can download the paper and presentation and data from this experiment. Thank you.